We're on a tight schedule here. As you can see, I took off my tie. Because when I give over Machshava and Sodos, it has to come from the Avrich, should be, not the tie. So the Tachlis, just as a disclaimer, the Tachlis of this Chabura is meant for all of us to get together once a week on a Thursday night to share your Sodos with one another from Machshava or in the Parsha. And if you think about it, over your experience in Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael, the most impactful places where your Sodos actually sit in is where you hear from your Chaverim themselves. Because it comes from a genuine place, it comes from an equal standing, and it penetrates much more. So that's one of the tachlises of this Chabura. But moreover, it also gives you guys a hizdamnus to maybe, no one should feel any pressure, but anyone who wants to give over and be part of the rotation of Masmidim to give over a Yisod, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, tops. I'll be happy to help you prepare Marukomos, make sheets for you guys, whatever you want. It's an opportunity. No one should feel any pressure. But if you want to be part of the rotation, please feel free to come over to me. We already have the next 3 weeks taken care of. Rav Avi Hagadol HaChashev is going to be next week. Little did he know. And Rav J.T. Hagadol HaChashev is going to be in 2 weeks. Little did he know. And Rav David Ozeri Hagadol HaChashev is going to be in 3 weeks. He's not here. He just lost his grandmother. It's his close taka for her neshama. He's going to be 3 weeks. So if anyone wants 4 weeks from now, feel free to come over to me. Again, no pressure. I'm here to help you the entire week through. Just giving you a heads up if you want to be part of the rotation. Lastly, there's a recorder here, which is okay. I give you full resources to record. But just one tnai, one condition. That if you want to give the recording to someone else, just ask me beforehand. Because I want to be able to just speak unfiltered, no sugarcoating, but at the same time, I can't have this recording land in the wrong hands. So just keep that in mind, okay? No secret recordings will be on the computer. Okay. So, the first yisod I wanted to kick off with is the yisod in Limud HaTorah. And I naturally wanted to speak about the Midah of Hasmada because our eclectic chevra, our chabura, is called the Masmidim. But I realized that the Midah of Hasmada has to be preempted by a more preliminary yesod, a prerequisite, a fundamental nekuda that everyone has to know about way before we even speak about the open of limud through Hasmada. There has to be a yesod that is much more basic and elementary that I think many Beit Torah nowadays are not completely aware of. And that's what I want to share with you tonight. And as Hashem, Chelek Beis, in the future, I'll share with you my ha'aras and nekudas about Hasmada. But tonight, we're going to do something much more basic and fundamental. And I think it's going to be very, very important for everyone to for the rest of their lives. So the best way to bring out this yesod is from the last parshias that we've been doing, the Tzias Mitzrayim. And culminating, obviously, with Matan Torah, Yisrael, Mishpatim. And if you look at the first Maramakam, Shemos, Hey Dalid, Moshe and Aaron come to Paro, and they tell Paro, let Klal Yisrael leave Mitzrayim. This is the first encounter that Moshe and Aaron have with Paro. And Zok Paro, he says, no, why are you bothering me? Lechu l'sivlo seichem. You, Moshe and Aaron, go back to your sivlo seichem. What's sivlo seichem? So Pashtus, Sivlo Seichem is Miloshen Avoda, Avoda's Perach, and he's telling Moshe and Aaron, go back to your Shibud Mitzrayim, go back to work, go back to build your pyramids. But Rashi to the left says that can't be Pshat. Because Moshe and Aaron were from Shevet Levi. And Zot Rashi, everyone knows that Melechah Shibud lo haisa al Shevet shel Levi. Shevet Levi was exempt, they were putter from doing Melechah Shibud. So says Rashi, when Paro says Sivlo Seichem, it means Melacha, Lav Dafka, it means go back to your houses to do your household chores. But Avada, Moshe and Aaron are not Mechuyev to go build pyramids. They're not part of Shibud Mitzrayim, they're Shevet Levi. And the Ramban on the bottom right below Rashi is Mosif, that this is true from time immemorial. That every single Malchus, every single Memshala, every Melech in the world, for all of history, understands that there has to be a Shevet Levi, a clergy, if you will, of every single Ummah, that there is a certain select group of scholars who are dedicated to their Torah, and for us, it's the Limud of Torah, and they are dedicated to do that and devoted to that section of their lives. And every melech, every Moshe knows this, that there has to be a set, select group of people. That's what the Rambam says. Sheminig b'chol am liyos lehem chachamim morei sarasam. Everyone, every ummah has a chachamim, a specific class of people. That's Shevet Levi. Zachar Moshe Sternbach, Pleiadik. Paro HaRasha, the same Paro that killed 6 million tons of Yiddish babies in the Yam Suf. And he was Meshaved Klal Yisrael for 210 years. The same Paro who took a bath in the blood of those babies, that same Paro had the Hakara that there has to be a Shevet Levi of Klal Yisrael learning Torah all day. And they're not going to do 1 ounce of work for Paro. That same Paro HaRasha. Dr. Moshe Sternbach, if Paro HaRasha has that Hakara, that there has to be a Shevet Levi in Klal Yisrael, Al Chas Kama V'Kama, do Klal Yisrael themselves have to be makir, that there has to be a Shevet Levi. There has to be a select class of individuals who are dafka devoting themselves to Limud HaTorah. But as we all know, step two, it's not restricted or limited to Shevet Levi. Zakta Rambam, number the next on the bottom, Shmita V'Yovel Yud Gimel, never forget this Mar Makom. Shmita V'Yovel Yud Gimel, at the very end, the Rambam says, V'lo Shevet Levi Bilvad, it's not Tali on Yichus, although I am a Levi, but it's not Tali on Yichus, El Kol Ish V'Ish, Mikol Baya Olam, every single Yid in Klal Yisrael, Asher Nodva Rucha, who has an Adivas Halev, he has a generosity of spirit, he has a Cheshek, he has a passion to be Maktish himself, Vehevinu Madol Lehevdol, he wants to isolate himself, Lamod Lifnei Hashem, Lishar Sol Avdo, he wants to join the ranks of Shevet Levi, no matter who you are, even if you're not a Levi. Any Yid in Klal Yisrael, if he has an Adivas Halev to join the ranks, he's allowed to. And the Rambam goes weiter, and if a person decides to, he is Nasa Kadosh Kadoshim. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu is mefaris him whenever he wants. That is the individual that can also join Shevet Levi. It's not restricted to the yichus of Levi, but any Yid who wants to devote his entire life to Limud HaTorah, can. At Kan, we all know, we've heard this before, Shevet Levi, and anyone can join, and I'm not telling everyone right now to join Kola right now. The next step is what we need to focus on. Step number three. And the difference between someone who daheres means to understand, someone who understands the next step, the difference between someone who understands it and someone who does not, is night and day difference between what his life is going to look like for the rest of his life. This is step number three. Rav Aaron Lapiansky, the Rosh Yeshiva of Greater Washington, he was mechadish this step. And he says in his masterpiece, Orchos Chaim, Ben Torah for Life, some people have it, a copy, must read. He says, Shevet, it's not just restricted to Shevet Levi. And it's not just restricted to individuals who decide to join the Kol system and become Avreichim, like someone like, you know, in the Kol, like myself, let's say, for the last 12 years, Kein Yirbu, it should go Weiter. Good call. Amen. But any single individual who decides to take any tafkid in life, whether it's law, accounting, engineering, medicine, any accounting, anything that he wants to do in life, a person still has an achrayus, if he wants to be matzliach in his learning, to develop a Shevet Levi mindset. Each individual, each Ben Torah who wants to be miyachid himself to Limud HaTorah and to be matzliach, also has the ability to be mekayim this mindset of Shevet Levi. It's not just actually being Shevet Levi, it's not actually learning the entire day like a Kol Yom Graman, it's even someone who's working, or even someone who's just doing whatever topic he wants to do in the world. But he has to also cultivate himself with a Shevet Levi mindset. And says Rav Aaron Lapiansky, that is done during the years of yeshiva. That the person himself is making a firm conviction. He's making himself a backbone of his body. This is who my core is. This is who I'm identified with. This is my priority. Limud HaTorah is going to be my kva. It's going to be who I am as an individual. That Shevet Levi mindset can apply to every single person, no matter what you're doing in the world. Says Rav Aaron Lapiansky, that's the goal of the years of yeshiva, to develop a Shevet Levi mindset and to know exactly where your priorities lie. So how do we exactly do this? What is a Shevet Levi mindset? B'chla. So you look at Chelek Beis, the next step. Let's look at Chazal. We don't have to make up and fluff what Shevet Levi means. We can look at Chazal, and whatever Chazal tell us, that's what we should do. Chazal already foresaw this issue. Zok, the Mishnah, in Pirkei Avos, Aleph Tesvav. The Rambam, Perashat Mishnah, says, really Shammai, the Tana says, Asei Torascha Kva. Make your Torah Kva, make it Keva, make it permanent. What does that mean? Zok, the Rambam, Perashat Mishnah, the Rambam, Asei Tama Torah HaShoresh, make Limud HaTorah your Shoresh, your root, V'ha'ikr. Make it your primary she'ifa, your primary pursuit. V'chosha asakecha, and all of the rest of your asakim, whatever else you're doing, whether it's parnasa, whether it's your bodily needs, any other asakim, any outlets that you have to be nimshachim acharav, says the Rambam. Everything else has to be secondary. In other words, Dr. Rambam, what it means, aset toras chakva, to make a Shevet Levi mindset, what that means is that you take Limud HaTorah and you put it on a certain pedestal. It's on top. That's my primary she'ifa. You can't dance at two chasanas. You have to choose one chasana. The chasana is Limud HaTorah. That is my primary pursuit. If you want to be matzliach, you have to make Torah your kva. Everything else has to fit into that construct. It has to fit into that context. If it's just going to be equal, or it's going to be greater, then there's no way that a person can be matzliach. If a person wants to be matzliach in his learning, he has to have a set kva. His Limud HaTorah has to be a primary, and everything else is secondary. Zok Rav Yerucham, Mashkiach from Mir, he says, Apliya dikazach, Ndas Torah Chelik Aleph. He says, if you look at the pasuk in Toldos Chaf Hei Chav Zayin, to the left, it says that Esav and Yaakov, Vayigdulu HaNe'arim, they grew up, and Esav was Ish Tzayid Yodea Sadeh, and Yaakov was an Ish Tam Yoshev Olam. So naturally, says Rav Yerucham, we would think that Esav was a batlan. He was just wasting time all day. He was a rotzeach, a rias, and he was just doing what he wanted. And Yaakov, he was the one, he was a masmid. He was the one who was always learning all day, many, many hours. Says Rav Yerucham, that's not pshat. Says Rav Yerucham, yitachin ve'eno mufrach klal, it is reasonable and not a kasha at all to assume that Esav was lo haya masmid lo pachos ni Yaakov. That Esav was just as much a masmid as Yaakov Avinu. So then what's the chilek? Says Rav Yerucham, the chilek is b'mahusam. Their mindset was different, says Rav Yerucham. They were learning the same amount of hours, Esav HaRasha, 10 hours, just like Yaakov. The difference was their mindset. What was their dagish? Says Rav Yerucham, Yaakov Avinu was an ishtam. He was shalim b'tachas. All of his eivarim, all of his machshavas, all of his maisim had one singular focus. Singular focus of his she'ifa of Limud HaTorah. That was his singular focus. Everything else that he had to take care of in his day had to fit into that given, that muhzak. Masha'enkin, Esav, who learned the same amount of hours, still, his mind was an issadeh. His mind was worried about other things. His primary pursuits were elsewhere. It wasn't in Limud HaTorah. And so naturally, he became an issadeh, even though he was learning the same amount of hours. Dr. Baruchu. And that, says Rucham, is pshat in this Mishnah. Asei Torascha Kva, Avos Alav Tesvav. It doesn't say that a person should learn many more hours. That's not what it says Rucham. It doesn't say Riboy Halimud. Rather, Torascha Kva. Because Kva is not about the Kamos. It's not about how many hours you do. It's about your Dagish. It's about your mindset. It's about where your head is at. Where do you focus on? And lastly, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah and Daf Gimel. And this is really the clincher. Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel Beis brings down two mishalim of Bnei Adam. And the Gemara equates a Ben Adam to a dog. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the mashal to a dog? So the Gemara gives two mishalim. Lama nimshlu Bnei Adam kedag yehayam? Why are they nimshal to a dog of the yam? Lomar l'cha, this is number one. Ma dagim shibayam kevin sh'olam liyabasham yad meisim. Just like when a fish, he leaves the water, he immediately dies, he ceases to exist, so too, someone who's poreish from Divrei Torah, he stops learning, he stops doing mitzvahs, he immediately dies. Mashal one. Mashal two, just like dagim when they leave the water, the chama, the sun, scorches them and kills them, so too, Bnei Adam, who are not learning, the chama scorches them and kills them. Frak the Ma'alas HaTorah. Ma'alas HaTorah was the brother of the Vilna Gaon. right below. Two kashas. Kasha number one, what are Chazal telling us? How is it possible, how you talking, that Chazal are telling us that a person has to learn nonstop and not take a break 1 second? What about parnasa? What about bodily needs? What about outlets? What about anything? Just stop. You have to be able to do things. What does it mean? Mamish kininshal kedagim. Chazal are not using their lashonos to stam. They're not saying guzma. They're saying it's like a dog. A dog leaves the water, he dies. So to a yid, he stops learning, he dies. Can't be. There has to be some wiggle room. That's kasha number one, says the Ma'al Torah. Second kasha, he says, is why did Chazal feel a need to give a second mushal? Why isn't the first one good enough? Once a dog leaves the water, he immediately dies. So that's it. Why have to add, when the chama comes and scorches the dog, so too a ben adam. What's the need for the second mushal? Zakt the Ma'al Torah, beautiful. Be'emes, that's not the mitzias of a dog. A dog, when he leaves the water, he doesn't die right away. Because kolzman, the droplets of water, are on the dog, he's able to flop all around. He's able to still maintain and survive when the water, the droplets are still on him. He's connected to the life source. But once the chama comes out and the sun scorches and dries up those droplets, then the dog dies. Hu hadin v'hu hatam when it comes to Limud HaTorah, says the Ma'al HaTorah. Avada, avada, a ben Torah has the right, and he's within his right, to take a break, to go do his parnasa, to do his bodily needs. It's completely valid. Of course he's allowed to go out. But that's kolzman, that he's still connected to the life source. That's kolzman, he's still thinking, I can't wait back to get back to the Beis Medrash. That's kolzman, he understands that the money that I'm trying to make and support my family with is just a hechitimtza to be able to learn and become a Talmid Chacham. That's kolzman, he's still connected. But once Kadra Alehem Chama, which the Ma'al HaTorah says is a reference to Olam Hazeh, once he becomes so shakua and so invested in Redifas HaMamon, money, 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 and fame, and fortune, and he can't stop thinking about it, and he's all over it, then Kadra Alehem Chama. Then he's no longer connected to the life source. And then Mian Mason. That, says the Ma'al HaTorah, is the vision. That's the shaved lady mindset that a person has to inculcate within himself. If he wants to, he doesn't have to. But if he wants to be matzliach in learning, if he wants to be a ben Torah who's going to be matzliach, then he has to prioritize for himself what are givens and what are valuables. What is my muchzak and what's my secondary? What's my tafel? I'll give you three anecdotes just to bring it home. One anecdote is from a parnas, Shlita. Should live and be well. He needs a refuah shleima. He's 93, 94. He needs a refuah shleima. He just came out of the hospital. So we need to daven for him. Yehuda ben Shifra. So Dr. Parnas, I was close to learning under him for 8 years. And if those who know Parnas or Safra know that he was very precise with his language. He is very precise with his language. So Dr. Parnas, he said, it bothers me when Talmidim come over to me, he says, and they say to me, I want to become a doctor. I want to become an accountant. I want to become an engineer. He says, that's not the right sprach. That's really not the accurate statement that you should be saying. What should you be saying? I want to become an Eved Hashem. I want to become a Talmud Chacham. I want to become a Tzaddik. I want to become an Eved Hashem. What I do with my time in order to support my family and to help Klal Yisrael, I practice medicine. I practice accounting. That's what I do. But who I'm becoming, who I'm identified with, what's my core? My core is becoming an Eved Hashem. My core is becoming a Talmud Chacham. That's the correct sprach that a person should use. And that really sums it all up. That's really the kvah, that's the shevet levi mindset that the person has to drill home and anchor home for himself. Those who know Jeremy Barth, he was here a year or two ago. Shalavim. Whoever Shalavim. And he had a line. And I don't know, those who know Jeremy Barth, he's a very tmimistic person. He's not a kanai. He's not like he doesn't yell like I'm yelling right now. He's a tmimistic guy, but I want to tell you what he said once. And he told it over to me, and it was by accident. He didn't even mean to say it. But it's megale where his mind is. He was majoring in accounting. This is 2 years ago. And a guy came over to him who was also majoring in accounting. And he said to him, Jeremy, I don't know how you feel. You must be so down. I've been studying for this accounting test for a week straight. And I'm still so far behind. You've been in the base for all this whole week. I can't imagine how you feel, how behind you feel. So Jeremy, he wasn't being a kanai. He was just, it was like a hashkafic reflex. That's all it was. He said to him, it's so funny, I was thinking the exact opposite. I've been working so hard on this sugya and bar mitzvah for the last week. And I feel so bad for you, you haven't been the base manager. I don't know how bad you must feel that you're so far behind. And he's like, whoa, like he just realized, like, wow, like it's all about perspective. Like if we're going to give accounting a greater hashivas than bar mitzvah, that's already like a red flag. It at least should be shoved. But that was the point. To Jeremy, to this Talmud, his ikar shifa was his learning. Yes, of course, he wants to support a family. He wants to have a chash of a living. He wants to have a nice, normal lifestyle. He wants to become an accountant. That's fine. But there has to be a mindset. And that's the kunz of this whole nekuda. It's not about the amount of hours. It's just about the amount of ichus and the commitment that a person drills into his head. And lastly, for myself, just on a personal note, that cul-de-sac right over there, the first zman that I came here, I wasn't sure what I was doing yet. I was definitely on fire to learn, but I was still battling with my parents a little bit. I ended up doing a Judaic Studies degree, and the rest is history. But the first semester, I was, you know, whatever, touching a few accounting courses to see if it would be for me. And it wasn't for me. But it was very nimshach. I was very absorbed by it. I was very invested into it. And every day, I remember, I get chills just looking at the cul-de-sac. I used to be on 2-3 or 3-3, whatever it was. And I used to walk around the cul-de-sac every night after Marv. And I said, Talmud Torah is the Iker, accounting is the Tafel. Talmud Torah is the Iker, accounting is the Tafel. Over and over again. And ad hayom, I did that because it's so easy to be lured by it. But if a person doesn't just take a step back and realize that it's all about priority and about your mindset, and the rest it will just follow suit. You'll be matzliach and learn. That's the amkus behind the Medrash Shmuel, the last Mar Makom. The Medrash Shmuel says, Hamakir is Mekomo is one of the 48 kinyanim of Torah. Hamakir is Mekomo. One of the pshatim the Medrash Shmuel is that he's makir, his makom kavua in the base Medrash. But in light of what we're saying, the amkus behind that is not just a physical place in which you sit in the base Medrash, but it's the mental space that you occupy. Where is your mental space? Where is your head? Is your head in this or in Limud HaTorah? I have one ma'isa, but I'll end here. I don't want to keep anyone else. You guys want the ma'isa? Want the ma'isa? Okay, I'll give you a ma'isa, but don't tell them when I went over 15. Okay. The ma'isa is... Okay, you know what? I'll do it a different time. I don't want to. Do it a different time. Okay, Shkoyach, we should use that to continue. Okay, I'll tell you the ma'isa. There's another Talmud I had. Talmud I had, his name is Tzvi Broder. West Hempstead. And he also Shalom. And but there Shalom is not the only place, you know, like but Abe, relax. So last year he had to fight his parents to be able to go to Eretz Yisrael. He graduated and he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael for the year. And he fought and he fought and he finally he asked Rav Blasi to help, and finally he spoke to me and we tried speaking to his parents. Finally he convinced his parents to let him go to the mirror. And he was in heaven. This is his dream come true. And there was one condition though. They said to him, listen, you can go to the mirror, but they have to be makpid on COVID. If they're not makpid on COVID, you can't go. He said, okay. So he showed his parents how the mirror, yeah, they have masks, they have booths and whatever, and it'll be okay. He said, okay, listen, you know, there's talk, but we have nothing concrete to know. So Lamaisa, we'll send you, but Elzman, we're gonna inquire and see if Taka, they're being mocked or not. He said, okay. So he's going in with that, you know, that feeling. He's going in. He told this to me himself. You're not going to find this in your autobiography. So he goes, and no one's not going to go in there. And he's learning in El, he's having an amazing time. And he's like, this is not going to end. This is going to end so bad. I'm going to have to leave. What am I going to do now? So he was right. The kids, the parents found out, and they called him up and said, we love you. We want you to be there. We were willing to let you go there, but this was the condition. So either you find another yeshiva that is makbid, or you have to come home. What in the world am I supposed to do now? So he called Rav Blasky. He called some of his rebbeim, and they tried to get him a different yeshiva. So they felt, and he also has to find the right yeshiva for him. So they said, you know what, Ritzi Kaplan. That'll be a nice place, a nice alternative to the Mir. And he goes to Ritzi Kaplan, he has his faher, he takes him with open arms, and he tells him the issue. He said, like, my parents are going to inquire. He's like, don't worry, I'll take care of it. He's like, they're going to ask. Don't worry, I'll take care of it. Ritzi Kaplan calls, I might have heard this like a few months ago, he calls the parents, and he tells them, again, you cannot use this at home. Ritzi Kaplan, he just goes on and on, telling them, we have masks, we have social distancing, we have exactly what we need to make sure everyone's safe. And however he said, I don't know the exact sprach he said it, but he said it in a way where he made them calm down. He probably did it in a very sensitive way. And then he hangs up the phone, and he turns to Tzvi, and he says, I have a Kabbalah from a Rirochim that a person, a Rosh Hashiva, is allowed to say 100 lies! 100 lies! To keep a Bachar in Yeshiva. And that's what he did. And he stayed in Rosh Hashiva. And his parents ended up finding out, and it all ended fine. Aslacha. There's a sequel, but I'll tell you that next time. What?